Y'all ready? Luke chapter 3, I said, are y'all ready? Luke chapter 3. Hey, real quick, let me see that telephone, Miss Carol. Someone left a telephone in the ladies' restroom. I know you probably don't want to raise your hand right now. I don't know why that guy up there has got his hand up, but I'm kidding, it wasn't. Listen, if you lost your telephone and you left it laying in the ladies' restroom, my wife has it. Go see her at the table. You'll get your telephone. Amen? Come on. Guys, we're also having baptisms in 2 weeks. If you were not here, come on, if you were not here this morning, we made our announcement in 2 weeks on November the 23rd at our Thanksgiving service. It's kind of been our annual tradition every year that we've been doing water baptism. So in 2 weeks, guys, we're going to be doing baptisms. If you want to get water baptized, please go out there and see Miss Linda and get signed up. Amen? Amen. Luke chapter 3, are y'all ready? Amen. Are you ready? Amen. I got one amen. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 15. Amen. I'll go where I want to. Y'all just follow along. Luke chapter 3, verse 15. Here we go. Y'all ready? Yeah. Now, as the people were in expectation. Oh, come on, somebody. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. Verse 16, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Now, listen to me. The key to this verse in verse 16 is taking place. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in verse 15, Jesus, John says, I come to baptize you in water, but the one coming after me comes to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. The key to that verse is really found in verse 15. It says, now the people were in expectation. The location of this verse is very significant, church. Listen to me. Because it had been 400 years of silence. 400 years. As the Old Testament ends in the book of Malachi, there had been 400 years of silence. God refuses to speak. There were no prophets. There were no words from the Lord. And then we move 400 years ahead and we pick up the story in the book of Luke where the Bible gives us a clue. Listen to me very carefully. The Bible gives us a clue of how the atmosphere, come on church, of how the atmosphere is supposed to be set. Remember, it's 400 years of silence. So now he's given us a clue of how he wants the atmosphere to be set. Amen? Amen. So he can pour out the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen to me. It says the people were in expectation. One translation, it says it like this. The English Bible, look at Luke 3:15, said the people were on their tiptoes. Oh, come on, somebody. It says that they were on their tiptoes in expectation. Everybody say it's tiptoe time. Everybody say it's tiptoe time. We need to understand that if God is going to do something, he's looking for people who are expecting. Oh, you don't believe me. I said if God is going to do something, it's tiptoe time around Restoration Church. I said it's tiptoe time around Restoration Church. It's tiptoe time in the body of Christ. Come on, somebody. It's tiptoe time. We need to expect God to pour out his spirit. I said we need to expect. We need to expect him to pour out his spirit. We need to start getting on our tiptoes and expect God to do the impossible again in your life with great anticipation, with great expectation. Oh, come on. Come on. It's tiptoe time. Hallelujah. You need to expect miracles this morning. You need to expect the Holy Spirit to be poured out this morning. You need to praise in expectation. You need to worship in expectation. You need to pray in expectation. Come on, church. Because the atmosphere, listen to me, because the atmosphere where the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out was going to be poured out to people who were in expectation. They were expecting it. They were expecting it. Colossians 2:14 says this, look. He wiped out the ordinances that were against us, and he took it out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross. So I want to go ahead and announce to you this morning that there is nothing standing in between you and your miracle. Oh, he took it out of the way. There's nothing in between you and your miracle. He's already removed it and nailed it to the cross. Amen. Come on, church. You don't believe it. There's nothing in the way between you and your miracle. He removed it. He nailed it to the cross. You need to be on your tiptoes this morning, believing that God is going to be doing something to you in this service today. Expect God to pour out his Spirit today on your family, on you, on the people all around you. Come on, somebody. Expect pain to leave your body. Expect to be healed this morning. Expect to receive a miracle. Hallelujah. Expect to be delivered from alcoholism, drug addiction, fear, depression. Hallelujah. Amen. Expect it this morning. Amen. I don't, y'all still don't believe it. Look at Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119, 126. It says, it's time for you to work, for they have made void your law. In other words, watch this. When you see people that are just disregarding God and they're just disregarding his word, that's not a time to digress. It's a time to be depressed. It's not a time for you to be depressed. It's not a time for you to digress and pull back. It's a time for you, church, listen to me, to get on your tiptoes. Amen. You get on your tiptoes. He said, when you see people making the word of God void and mocking it and laughing at it, that's time for God to work. Everybody say it's tiptoe time. It's tiptoe time. Whew. I think y'all starting to get it. And I just started sweating. Whew. It's tiptoe time. Many of you are facing giants in your life. You've already defeated the lion. You've already defeated the bear. But many of you are facing giants in your life. And he's going to give you that giant, and you need to get on your tiptoes with expectation. Amen? Come on, church. Look at Romans 8:17. It says that we are children of God and heirs. Now watch. Now because of Jesus Christ, listen, we are joint heirs, which means we have a double claim. It means we have a double claim. We have a double claim to everything in heaven. We have a double claim to every single promise. Come on, church, that is in this book. We have a double claim to not, listen to me, we're not just heirs, but because of Jesus Christ, we're joint heirs. Hallelujah. We're joint heirs. It's mine because Jesus says I can have it. Joint heirs. To every promise in this book, to every blessing in heaven. Come on, somebody. Y'all still don't believe it. Y'all still don't believe me. You don't expect nothing this morning, do you? I want to show you something in Acts chapter 3. And I've preached on this before, but I want to show you this in Acts chapter 3, where there is a lame man, and he was brought to the temple, and he would lay at the gate at the temple every day. And there's this awesome scripture. Because listen, I've heard people preach and they say that the miracle was dependent upon Peter and John telling them, silver and gold I have not, but what I have for you, right? Amen. They say I give to you in the name of Jesus, but listen to me, because I know there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. He says, silver and gold I have not. What I give to you, I give to you in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. We know that. Hallelujah. We know that. We believe it. But notice this. That didn't activate itself. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus, but that did not activate itself. Notice that the miracle of the lame man was dependent on what happened in Acts chapter 3, verse 5, where the man looked on them, and the Bible says that he was expecting. Thank you for that rousing applause. The miracle of this story is found right here in the scripture. He looked on them expecting to receive something from them. Hallelujah. Expecting to receive something from them. Hallelujah. You're looking on me. But I wonder if you're really expecting this morning to receive anything. Amen. They looked on him. They looked on that man of God, expecting to receive something from him. You look at me, but I wonder if you really came in here this morning expecting anything. I'm about to. Did you come in here expecting anything this morning? Did you expect to receive anything this morning? This man said, I don't hope, I don't think, I don't believe. He said, I expect. He said, I don't hope, I don't think, I don't believe. I'm expecting to receive something from that man of God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen carefully, church. There is something, I want to show you this. There is something that the enemy is completely tormented by. You make Satan want to take Rolaids. You hear me? Y'all upset his stomach. Y'all make Satan want to take Rolaids. Watch this. One thing that will upset him more than anything else, 1 John 3:2. It says this, it has not yet been revealed. The devil is not afraid of who you used to be. The devil really ain't even scared of who you are right now. But apparently, oh, come on, somebody. Apparently, he's really, 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 really terrified of who you will be. You got to get this. You got to get it. He's not concerned with what you used to be. He's not concerned with what you are. But he is tormented by what you can be because it has not yet been revealed what you shall be. Come on, somebody. This thought really hit me this week, church, because the devil isn't afraid of my past. And he's really not afraid of who I am right now. But apparently, by the way he's been attacking me here lately, I just think there must be something that ain't been revealed yet. There must be. Oh, there's something that ain't been revealed yet in your life, in my life, in this church life. Come on, somebody. Amen. How many of you been under attack lately? Amen. Yeah. It ain't because of who you are. Because it ain't been revealed yet who you will be. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Come on, church. Just think there's got to be something that ain't been revealed yet. He's going to use you, and he's going to use me and you to do it. Amen. He's going to shake the earth. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm just telling you. I'm on my tiptoes with expectation this morning. Whew. Something is coming. Hallelujah. It has not yet been revealed what you shall be. Whew. Boy, if you just grab a hold of that for a minute. It has not yet been revealed what you shall be. The Lord wants me to tell you this morning, your greatest miracles are not behind you. Don't look back, look ahead. I said, God wants me to tell you this morning that your greatest miracles are not behind you. Don't look back. Look ahead, church. Come on now. Hallelujah. Your biggest miracles are not behind you. And that's why you need to be on tiptoe time. You need to be in tiptoes with expectation. Hallelujah. Everybody say it's tiptoe time. You got to understand something's going to happen that you ain't seen yet. It has not yet been revealed. Come on, church. God's going to do great things for you. Amen. Hallelujah. God has done great things for you. Amen. But that's not all he's got. Eye has not seen. Come on, I'm about to preach myself happy if y'all. Listen to me. I've seen him do great things. I could retire right now and just be like, well, you know what? I've had a full life. I've been used by God. Ain't that what we want? I've been used by God. But I heard the Lord say, your eyes have not seen and your ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into your heart the hidden things that I have prepared for you. It has not been revealed what you shall be just yet. Hallelujah. No eye has seen and no ear has heard. Hallelujah. You got to keep going. You got to keep moving. You got to get on your tiptoes and start expecting. Come on, somebody. You got to start expecting things to happen. That the best is still yet to come. Come on, let's take a praise break right now. Hallelujah. Let's go, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You serve a God that is greater than your faith. Maybe your faith has peaked. Come on, somebody. You serve a God that is greater than your faith. You serve a God that is greater than your prayer life. For God, the Bible says, watch this in Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. You hear me? In order for God to forget you, he would have to be unrighteous. And he's not unrighteous. Amen. He will not forget your work and your labor of love. It is impossible for God to forget what he has promised you. And so the only question is, are you expecting it? That's the only question. It's impossible for him to forget what, but are you expecting what he's already promised you? Are you on your tiptoes in expectation? Uh-huh. Everybody says tiptoe time. It's tiptoe time at Restoration Church. Come on now. Come on. Hallelujah. It's impossible for him to forget what he's promised you. Look at your neighbor and say, are you expecting? Look at your other neighbor and say, are you expecting again? Unto them who look for him shall he appear. Church, I said, unto them who look for him shall he appear. Amen. You got to expect it. You got to want it. I expect it now. I expect it this Sunday. I expect it in this service. I'm tired of normal services. Amen. I'm tired of normal services. I'm tired of regular services. I'm expecting something to break loose this morning. I'm expecting somebody to get filled with the Holy Spirit and get them out of that straitjacket of depression that they've been stuck in. Come on, somebody. I'm expecting God to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you could hope or dream. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm expecting to be healed, filled, blessed, saved, delivered, free. I expect a miracle. Amen. Do you? Amen. Do you? Jesus is in this house. Amen. Jesus is in this house. Do you expect a miracle this morning? Come on, church. Hallelujah. I'm expecting it.
Calm down, Pastor.
What are you talking about? Man, we become so sophisticated. We become so educated. We become so know-it-all. We've become so theological that we've boxed God out of the church. We've boxed miracles out of the church. We've boxed the supernatural right out of the church. But this Sunday morning, I'm saying to you, Holy Spirit, come possess your church again. We're on our tiptoes. Woo! We're on our tiptoes this morning. Come on, somebody. I'm saying to you today that you have won the chance to get your miracle, and you ought to manifest it with tiptoe expectation. Y'all still don't believe me. You have won the opportunity to get your miracle, and you got to be on your tiptoes with expectation. Amen. Preaching on my tiptoes most of this sermon, whether y'all noticed it or not. I said, I'm preaching on my tiptoes. My calves are going to be like, yes, bro. Preaching on my tiptoes this morning. Amen. You'll see what I see. Just look. Look at the crowd. You know what you're going to get? Nothing. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get nothing. But the person that's three seats next to you, who's at his tiptoes with expectation, he's going to get all the miracles. He's going to get... Come on. You're going to sit there. You ain't going to get nothing. Person right next to you getting a move on. Whew. Oh boy, hallelujah. Don't let the fire killers hinder you this morning. I said, don't let the fire killers hinder you this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. We need to get our blessing. We need to get our victory. We need to believe God for more than normal. We need to believe God for more than usual. I'm so glad I'm not in a dead, dry church this morning. I'm so glad I'm not just sitting here listening to some little lecture or some little talk that ain't nothing but information. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you gotta get on your tiptoes. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Are you on your tiptoes this morning? Are you expecting something this morning? Whew. It's tiptoe time. It's tiptoe time. You see, when they set that lame man outside that gate, and he looked on Peter and John, expecting to receive from them. Listen, what he really was expecting was what he got every single time he went to the temple. What he was wanting, what he got every single time he went to the temple. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. I'm just getting by another day. It's just a get by another day kind of blessing. That's all he wanted. That's all he wanted. I'm going to go to the temple. And that's how some of you are in here today. I think we need to check ourselves sometimes. What am I really expecting? Come on, church. Did I come in here during praise and worship on my tiptoes expecting? Glory to God. Oh, come on, Holy Spirit. Or did I come in here during praise and worship? Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, church. What's going to happen this morning? I wonder if this is the Sunday. Amen. Church, listen to me. We don't have expectation. We just want to come to church getting by another day kind of blessing. Amen. All right, well, talk to me, preacher. Yeah. He says some really good things today. Bye, see you next week. But God saw, listen to me very carefully. God saw that that man came expecting to receive something. Amen. You got it. He saw that that man came expecting to receive something, and he thought he was just going to get a blessing for today. He thought he was going to get just enough to keep him going. And God said, because you're expecting to receive, I'm going to change your life in one service. Because he went to the temple expecting to receive. He said, I'm going to change your life in one service. And I'm saying to somebody who's addicted that this is the service that's going to change your life. I'm saying to somebody whose marriage is in serious trouble, this is the service that's going to change the rest of your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about in Mark chapter 10 that there was a blind man. His name was Bartimaeus. Talks about a blind man named Bartimaeus. And he had a beggar's garment on. And I want you to listen to me, because you'll read this and you'll read right over it and you won't even know, you won't even catch it. Okay? You'll read right over it. But the Bible says that he had what they called a beggar's garment, and anybody, any citizen, okay? So here's what it was. The government had issued them an official beggar's garment. It was a certain color. And what it was is any citizen who saw them on side of the road begging or on the wayside or whatever it was, if they were blind, if they were, and if they had this beggar's garment on, the citizens of the community would know that it's okay to give them money because they are really officially, you know, declared blind or deaf. Or whatever, that you're okay, that they really are ill. Amen? So they would issue these beggar's garments so you would know that they really are, you know, blind, ill, or whatever it may be. And the Bible says, when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he did something amazing. Look at Mark 10:50. Look what he did. He took his garment. He's blind. He took his garment and he threw it away. And what he was saying is, I know I can't see yet. I know I'm not healed yet. But if Jesus is anywhere in my vicinity, I'm casting away this garment and I am expecting fully that I will never go back to being a beggar again. Ever. Amen. He threw it away, expecting to be fully restored, never to go back to be a beggar again. Amen. Y'all still don't believe me. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to give me a miracle today is what he said. He threw that garment. He said, Jesus is going to give me a miracle today. And immediately he received his sight because he expected it. Amen. Read your Bible. He threw the garment, received his sight. He was on his tiptoes, church. Everybody says tiptoe time. And I want to close with this. And it's going to take me about 5 minutes to finish. Maybe 10. But listen carefully. Because according to Luke 3:15 and 16, the Bible says, look at this, that the people were in expectation. They were in complete expectation, asking John, talking to John, right? In verse 16, John says, I indeed baptize you with water, but the one that's coming after me. Listen to this, folks. Listen to this. Jesus is God the Father's gift to you of eternal life. Amen. Jesus is God the Father's gift to you of eternal life. But the Holy Spirit is Jesus' gift to you to empower you in this life. Amen. Jesus is God's gift to give you eternal life. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' gift on this earth to give you power here. That's right. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And he said in verse 16, and he, speaking of Jesus, shall baptize you, John the Baptist said, in the Holy Ghost and fire. And I'm going to say this to you because what does that mean? Can I tell you the Holy Spirit desires you? Amen. I said the Holy Spirit desires you. He wants to do 5 things. I'm going to talk about that real quick. Number one, the Holy Spirit will invade you. The Holy Spirit will invade you. And I want to say this to you. You guys are amazing. The Holy Spirit wants to invade you. An invasion is a military term of warfare. When one army invades the territory of another army, they conquer it. It's an invasion. They're all over the place. They're coming in from the land, the sea, the air. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it's an invasion internally. He comes in to fill every inch of you. Church, he wants to invade your life with his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Secondly, not only will he invade you, but the Holy Spirit will envelop you. The word envelop is found in Ephesians 1:13. Look at this. It says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit wants to envelop you. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I have a letter right here that, it's a letter, I'm gonna put it in this envelope. And that's what it means when the Holy Spirit, he wants to envelop you. Amen? Because Ephesians 1:13 says that you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Right? So he seals this thing, right? It says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That means dirt can't get in. That means uncleanness. Come on, church. Can't touch it because it's been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And not only, see, when the Holy Spirit envelops you, but you listen to me, he also delivers you. Because that's the purpose of the envelope, right? He seals you. He envelops you, seals you, and then he delivers you. And listen to me. While he's delivering you, he's also protecting you so that don't get damaged. And as he's delivering you and moving you and protecting you, see, I want to say this because the Holy Spirit invades you internally, but he envelops you externally to protect you, to deliver you. And he seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. So he wants to deliver you from one place to another. He wants to deliver you out of bondage into victory. He wants to deliver you from addiction into joy. Amen. So he not only seals you and delivers you, but he also, church, listen, he protects you along your journey until you get to your final destination. Listen, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. Do you understand that? He will invade you. He will envelop you. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit will instruct you. Jesus said in John 14:26, but the helper, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Listen to that. Listen. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance that I have said to you. Man, that scripture moves me. Because I remember when I first started preaching. I remember the first sermon I did. It was pitiful. Probably not as bad as this one, but it was pretty pitiful. And I remember thinking, I can't do this. But the Holy Spirit began to instruct me. I'm telling you, he began to say it like this and do it like this and get off your notes and do it like this. And I'm going to tell you, you don't understand when a preacher's up here preaching. If he's a Holy Ghost preacher, you don't know what's going through his mind. Because I look at some of y'all and I can tell you things you don't want me to tell you. I'm just telling you, he'll instruct you. Church, he'll instruct you. He's your teacher. Listen, when you went to school, you didn't know anything about algebra. Still don't. Amen. I heard you. Crazy. When you went to school, you didn't know nothing about algebra. You didn't know anything about algebra. But you got a teacher, and suddenly they opened up a whole new aspect that you didn't even know existed. Amen. That's how the Holy Spirit would do with the Bible. And if you'll let him invade you, if you'll let him envelop you, he'll begin to instruct you and he'll begin to talk to you and he'll begin to bring things to your remembrance. Come on, somebody. Amen. Number four, the Holy Spirit will impress you. What do you mean by that, preacher? One of the frequent operations of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, is to bring impressions upon us of what we are to do. Come on. He'll impress you. Pray for that person. He'll impress you to witness to that person. He'll impress you with some people that some people will just, they'll just stand out to you. I've had him do it. I've had him impress on me. You just reach in your pocket and just for some, give that guy some money. Come on. He will impress on you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit knows how, listen to me, church. Listen to me. One of his chief functions is to bring impressions. You don't need to be there. You don't belong there. You better get out of there. Oh, come on. You shouldn't be doing those things. He's impressing you. Or that's where you belong. Join yourself to that. That's a God thing. Come on. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll impress you. He's giving you impressions either way. And lastly, the Holy Spirit will indwell you. He is an indwelling presence. John 4:14.
Nobody leaving this morning until y'all are dismissed. Come on. We got 10 minutes. We're using them all. Oh, yeah. The Holy Spirit will indwell you. Church, listen to me. He's an indwelling spirit. He is an indwelling presence in your life. It says in John 4:14, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be a fountain, come on somebody, of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. He wants to indwell your body as his temple.
Amen.
Amen. And so the Holy Spirit says, today I will invade you. I will envelop you. I will instruct you. I'll impress you. And I'll indwell you. You'll never be alone again. And all I need from you is for you to be on your tiptoes. All I need from you is to be on your tiptoes in expectation. It's tiptoe time at Restoration Church. You may have came this morning for a get through the day kind of blessing, but you're going to leave with your whole life changed. Come on, church. This is your service. For those who will wait on the Lord, this is your service. And expect to receive something from him. Come on, let's stand to our feet with great expectations this morning.